Hey everyone, we're catching up with Ken Fillmore, sports editor, sports director for Kendallville Publishing. We're going to preview the boys basketball sectionals, all five sites, Eastside and Westview in 2A, 1A Fremont, DeKalb in 4A, and Wallasey and Garrett in 3A. My name is Dean Jackson. I am a contributing reporter for KPC Publications. Ken, do you want to start with one specific sectional?
Well, I think you could all go back to DeKalb and how loaded that sectional is going to be. You've got two of the three tri-champions in the Summit Athletic Conference there in Carroll and Northrop. They'll be the opposite side of the bracket, and you've got East Noble, the NEA champion, and then you've got a really good Snyder team that beat East Noble earlier in the year, and I believe that was in Kendallville. And then you got a feisty Bishop Dwenger team, and we know how good Coach Kostoff's teams have been over the years.
They're consistent, they're solid, they're fundamental, what you would expect a Catholic school to be, just very methodical, yeah. And just very blue collar. Now, there seems to be always this emotional advantage for teams that aren't in Fort Wayne, where they've got this label of we're going into the city. You know, when you and I think of going into the city, you think of New York City or Detroit or maybe Indianapolis. Yeah. But as we go around Northeast Indiana, sometimes the smaller schools, I think there is a mental block sometimes against Plain City schools.
I agree. I think there's some kind of a stigma. I think when I was growing up in the middle 90s playing, when my suburban high school took on teams from the Detroit Public School League, and there was just type of a wow or something. I think the lines have been blurred quite a bit or something between the cities and between the suburbs or perhaps the outlying areas as we are in Northeast Indiana. And it just, it can be a stigma, and you can get caught up or something when the athletes, when it should be as simple as they put their shorts on one leg at a time, just like we do. So and all the stuff that goes with it, or something. And there's guys, we got a Division I player at East Noble, for instance, and Ali, who's point forward. So it's, yeah, you can get caught up in that. I don't think things are as, you might have a couple of teams that really kind of up things, like a Homestead or a Fort Wayne Blackhawk, who we'll talk about later. But the difference is not that big, but you can get yourself leading to believe that it's a bigger challenge than what it actually is.
I really like East Noble. I've had a chance to see him three or four times. I think they're well coached. I think Ali is the ultimate role player, where he does whatever you need. You call him a point forward, and that's exactly what he is. He can run the point. He can play inside. He can crash the boards. He can deal out assists. I don't know if there is anything, and I'm not blowing smoke. No. I don't think there's anything that he can't do when a coach needs him to do it. He's always stood up. He's always made whatever adjustments he's had to do to get his team victory.
Yeah, he's going to be a guy that handles it or something. I mean, I'm going to date ourselves by saying this. It's like Grant Hill when he was with the Pistons and the Teal, just how he kind of runs a basketball team. But when he has to go inside and utilize his length and his he can do it there. He's building up his body to where he can mix it up with somebody, that with teams that are physical. And so he can do a lot of different things. He's not one that's going to force things and put up shots hastily or something. He'll run within, and he's got nice people alongside him, like a Hayden Jones. And Brent Cox is the ideal post player within what Coach Eakins and the Knights do. So he's got some, he doesn't have to force it, but yeah, very versatile player.
And this is a team that seems to be something that is very unusual in today's basketball, at least by old standards. I'm dating myself as I say this, but they play very good defense. This is a team that is, their defense is almost overshadowed.
Yes, you get caught up with the skill level and the ability of Ali and Hayden Jones, and your thing. But the thing is, they're pretty disciplined. They value play on the defensive end of the floor, and they can defend. They can defend about everybody. They've held Luke Goody to 4 points, one of the impressive athletes in Fort Wayne. And they needed to make some stops to beat an Angola team that prides itself on defense and being physical. And so, I mean, they can put it all. If they could put it all together and play 32 minutes, they can win that sectional at DeKalb.
Who else do you see from that? Is East Noble your favorite? I caught you.
You got me. I would put them up there. They've had some stretches here where they've, I don't know if they just get caught up with what, because they've really held up pretty well. They upgraded their schedule, put Carroll on it, put Homestead on it. They're going to play a really good team in Elkhart Memorial.
Okay, give me your top three teams in that
My
section.
Top three teams.
Carroll?
Carroll, Snyder, and East Noble. Maybe not necessarily in that order. And we're leaving somebody out, which is Sidney Curry and Northrop. But McKeeman and Daniel Ija, and we know what Marty Beasley can do in the office, as a coach. And they played some really good teams. I think Indianapolis, North Central, and Carmel down this final stretch. I think with the talent, that's going to be a tough opening round game for Northrop, even though Sidney Curry is a heck of a post player.
We were going to go short and sweet on this, but I think we're going to go run long. But that's okay. If people want to hear it, we will share it. Now, let's move ahead to the 3A sectional at Wawasee, and then we'll get to Garrett.
Yes, Wawasee, there's some semblance of wide openness, but I think if things play out like I think they'll play out, I think Fairfield's a favorite. They had a bitter taste in their mouth last year when things kind of fell apart on them, when they thought they could compete for a sectional title with Northwood. But I think they're the favorite team. Cordell Hofer, Nolan Sherrick, really good players, really nice guard in Peyton Faldo. And then a lot of teams that are probably average at best. Northwood's down, and they're usually the giant in that sectional. West Noble's got some athletes and skilled players, so there's some teams in there, but Lakeland's down compared to after losing two really good 1,000 point score type of players. So I think it could potentially be a Fairfield West Noble final.
And top three.
Fairfield, West Noble, Northwood. Tippy Valley. Tippy Valley, Fairfield, West Noble.
All right, moving to Garrett.
Angola's in an unusual place. They're the favorite. Best record in the sectional. They play the team with the next best record in Concordia in the first game on Tuesday night. And they beat them a couple weeks ago, got a late three from Dyer Ball. And he made a couple free throws, and they won at Concordia. Angola's got some pieces offensively, but it's kind of a situation where their style of play can allow teams of all types to be in it. But Angola's got a good shot, but their offense has got to be there with their defense if they're going to do it.
I almost wonder if Ed Bentley, who, you know, we should probably call him the general from his military experience, but... You know, he wouldn't want to be the general because he's too blue-collar for that. But I wonder how he relishes being called the favorite, because I think much of his modus operandi is, you know, just doing the hard work, just doing whatever to get it done. You don't need the accolades, you just need the W.
Yeah, this doesn't fit, and this is a team that's relished, or this is an athletic program that's relished in being the underdog. When you look at football and then to pull off some of the wins against Culver and Northwood or something, I mean, this is an unusual deal, but I don't think it's going to necessarily lessen the intensity and lessen what they have to do in order to win a game and win a sectional.
Give me your top three.
Top three. We'll go Angola, New Haven, Concordia. thing is Angola and Concordia play each other right out of the bat. But New Haven, their athletes are gonna, they're down. They lost quite a bit of seniors, but they've got enough athleticism to probably create chaos and get out of that other half of the bracket.
We move to 2A and Butler for the East Side Sectional, packed with some ACAC teams.
That's going to be as wide open as it could possibly be. I mean, if East Side can get going, Alex Yoder's had some big games recently. They've got another couple other guys or something that have played really well. If they could get hot, they could possibly get out of it. But Canterbury may not be easy. They're not what they have been in recent years, but that'll be tough. And what might be a tougher matchup for East Side is going to be Adams Central. Well, it's going to be a tough matchup for either East Side or Canterbury after their game on Tuesday night, because Adams Central has beaten East Side and Canterbury pretty big in the regular season.
We are doing a sectional basketball preview. My name is Dean Jackson. You may have seen my work from time to time as a KPC stringer, but you've all seen Ken Fillmore's work as the sports director for KPC. Now we'll turn our attention to Westview.
Cherubusco's there. They could be the favorite. They've got a 1-9 South Adams team right out of the bat, and then they play Bluffton, I think, if they win that game. So it's been an up-and-down season, but they got some capable players. Top three, Cherubusco, Adams Central, Canterbury.
Okay, now we can move ahead to Westview in the Tri-Cities of Emma, Topeka, and Shipshewana. Actually, it's Topeka, but yeah. I like to call it the Tri-Cities.
Yes, Emmatown, which many people call it, and they'll be rocking, and they've got big goals with that senior group with Elijah Hales and Nick Rensberger and Josh Hostetler. But that sectional has become a monster, and I think record-wise might be the best in the state from what I understand.
You know, early on in the season, I had chances to talk to the Westview coaches, and they had just come off a victory over Cherubusco, and they looked really good. They didn't make many mistakes in the game, and coaches would say, well, we're getting better. And I'm just thinking, I'm like, coach, what are you talking about? But now it makes sense when they look in the focus of how tough this sectional is.
Oh, it comes into focus when you see LaVille's been strong under Michael Edison the last couple of years. They've got a strong senior core group with the Beeler twins, and they're a long, talented, skilled forward in Riley Cox. Prairie Heights has come out of nowhere. They had a coaching change, an emergency. Todd Watkins had to have done some really good things to prepare these guys, because they have played really well. They've beaten a variety of quality teams, Heritage, Angola, and they've went toe-to-toe with Westview. You've got a Central Noble team that has become really explosive offensively, including one of the better freshmen in Northern Indiana in Connor Assisian. And Whitco's no slouch at 11-9. They've beaten Central Noble and Prairie Heights.
And you said if Prairie Heights ends up facing Westview, that could be very, very interesting.
Yes, because they played them in the NECC championship game. Was a defensive game. And then the second game they played them, a regular season game, it was 55-51 in the Warrior Dome. And the thing is, they had a really rough quarter. Westview really frazzled Prairie Heights with a bunch of turnovers, yet they were within 2 or 3 points down in the final couple of minutes. That'll be a doozy, but Prairie Heights is going to have to get through LaVille first if they get past Bremen on Tuesday night.
Yeah, let's not look ahead. But we're going to ask you to look ahead by naming your top three teams.
Westview, LaVille, Prairie Heights.
Okay, one last sectional in Butler, Eddie. I'm sorry. One last sectional in Class 1A. That is Fremont.
It's not fair because of who's in it. It's Blackhawk or any. It's Blackhawk or nothing. With Caleb first, Frankie Davidson, even got a guard. The name escapes me from Cherubusco or something. But it's a loaded team that has state title aspirations. And what might be a neat thing, the home team's got a good chance to play them in the final. They start out with Smith Academy on Tuesday night. That's only got three games, got some athletes, but pretty limited. Bethany Christian is a three-win team. Have some shooters to a certain degree, but Hamilton was able to weather them and beat the Bruins. So that would be a semifinal game if Fremont gets past Smith Academy. And then I think the team with the next best record in the sectional is Lakeland Christian. And Lakeland Christian drew the Braves in round one. So there's really not much to say, but if Fremont can get to a sectional championship game, that's something they can carry with them going into their offseason as they continue to rebuild.
I really like Blackhawk, well coached by Mark Davidson. This is a team that does not duck anybody. Every year they play Summit Athletic Conference teams in Fort Wayne, and they do pretty well. If you just punch them into that conference, they would be near the top every year because they are that good, and they don't, like I said, they're not hiding from anybody in the state. They'll schedule anybody.
Yeah, including going into Chicago if they have to when they played Chicago or. And then they battled it out against a team that's big, physical, and talented and lost to Homestead, but this is a team at another level, and you might say that not just for the obviously the 1A, they're playing a different game, but they're might be at another level even in the city of Fort Wayne.
Dean Jackson and Ken Fillmore. I'm Dean. I am a KPC stringer. Ken is, of course, the sports director for Kendallville Publishing, KPC. Now, Ken, I'm going to throw you a curveball because I didn't tell you I was going to do this.
Okay.
Okay, so of all of these teams in Northeast Indiana, give me your top four teams from all of these sectionals, from all these, the teams that you really like, that you think are going to make the biggest push towards Indianapolis.
Top four teams.
Or it can just be whatever.
Yeah, well, I could work with that. Blackhawk be one.
Are they the best team, you think? Best chance?
Possibly, but if Blackhawk and Westview played each other, that would be a fun game to watch. You got Charlie Yoder, who's probably one of the better players, and the old left-hander, junior Rob Yoder's son, really talented player. But yeah, I'd say Westview be two. Then you would have Wes Noble, who actually got Westview earlier in the year, would probably be three. Carroll would be four.
Any other thoughts as we head into the sectionals?
Well, let's get through this regular season finale and let's have some fun next week.
And watch the forecast, because invariably sectionals always mean snow. I don't care what the forecast says, we're going to get snow.
That's true. You're definitely right there. It's been very ugly in a lot of spots this winter, and we thought we might be out of the woods, but you might have jinxed us.
I'm just stating facts. I'm not about jinxing. I'm not about supporting one side or the other. I'm just saying the truth as I see it.
My colleagues have been right on board. We know what goes on in the sectional week. The weather gets unpleasant.
He's Ken Fillmore from KPC Publishing. I'm Dean Jackson. We will catch up with you next time. Maybe more podcast as we follow the tournament trail to Bankers Life Fieldhouse. I almost said Conseco, but that's only been 15 years since they changed the name. We'll catch up with you next time. So long, everybody.
That was good.